Welcome to Sideways Boulevard. We are three Kansas City authors who do speculative fiction, horror fiction. We write good stuff. We write bad stuff. Some of the stuff we love, some of the stuff we hate, and then we give it to you and pray that you love it. I'm Markel Groves, along with Shelby Dollar and J.E. Peterson.
Oh.
In today's Sideways Boulevard, where we talk about things that we think are cool and creepy and kind of weird, we're going to talk about Missouri cryptids. There are three of them in specific. Each of us has picked one. There's a bunch out there. And I'm sorry that we're not hitting on them all, because some of them were kind of stupid fun. There's even a Mothman type thing going on. The Batman.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, or Bat Dog, was it? There's Dog Man. I'd love to see the Bat Dog or Bat Boy or whatever that other one. I'd love to see any of these. Are you kidding me?
It's like, yeah, Mark's like, anything. Give me anything. Yeah, bring it up.
I lived in Southern Missouri. Now, that's going to be a problem with Momo for you, J.E., because there were a lot of big, hairy, smelly dudes. And I had to wrestle with one in high school. And it was a horrifying experience that scarred me for life. But we're going to get on with it and tell you about our three favorite Missouri cryptids. And Shelby, if you'll kick us off.
Yeah. So I figured, and I didn't know if we were going to cover it, but and maybe we did. But as in, what in the world is a cryptid?
Because here I am assuming that, the people that would listen to our podcast are like, oh yeah, cryptids, totally.
Well, essentially,
I wrote my thesis on that.
I've got this covered. So according to I'll just do a definition. Oxford English Dictionary defines it as an animal whose existence or survival is disputed or unsubstantiated. So pretty much like the Yeti, or I would think like Loch Ness Monster, wouldn't that kind of fall under this?
Or, oh, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Am I missing another? Mothman, Bigfoot.
There are so many.
There's lots.
And they're all across, like some of the other ones that I wasn't able to do, because I really focused on Missouri. Arkansas seems to have a bunch of weird shit living down there. And cryptids. Sorry, Arkansas, I love you. I love you so much. And I, honest to God, I love.
No, I do like Arkansas too.
Going on the pig trail, driving the pig trail pretty much any time of year, except winter when it's slick, is just an amazing experience. Eureka Springs, And you can go down there and dig up diamonds.
What?
There is a field, a dirt field, where people are finding diamonds. And you pay to go there and dig and sift dirt. I did it with my whole family. My kids were tired of it in about 10 minutes. I'm there for two hours going, son of a bitch, I'm going to pay for this vacation. I'm going to pay for this. But I did not. However, what is it? Diamond Crater Park, I think it's called. Arkansas is fantastic. And then there's the White River Monster I heard about a lot as a kid. There's the Blue Man, et cetera, et cetera. So your thing about cryptids is spot on.
And before I say what, because we are focusing in Missouri, I figured it would be kind of fun to talk about where mine was spotted, because when I went and looked it up, I'm like, oh, that's not too far at all from where I'm at or any of us.
So you chose yours for convenience of travel. I love it.
Yes. Well, but this creature was spotted in Sugar Creek, which, you know, according to sugarcreek.mo.us, so their nice little like come join and visit Sugar Creek website. Since 1920, so Sugar Creek has been home to families looking for a simpler life. I just had to pull it from the tourist website. So,
yeah, and also people, vineyards and wineries and breweries, I mean, and like I assume.
Other, I would
it
think,
feels like if it's you're called Sugar Creek and you aren't capitalizing.
So they're just
on
the alcoholic
straw.
Amish.
Well, I mean, and
maybe
also,
not. I don't know. But.
Well, and so it has like a population of just under like 3,500. So it's, you know, quiet and not too overpopulated. It's just east of Kansas City and a little west of Independence. So like literally like 20 minutes probably from Kansas City.
Wow.
Okay.
Now, because I was interested, how Sugar Creek got its name was evidently way, way, way back then when the settlers were coming in, the creeks were lined with sugar maples that made the water taste sweet, which also made me laugh, because I'm like, okay, so Sugar Creek, it's so sweet and, you know, it's attracting all these, you know, people coming in to want to settle. But it also, you know, we know what other things like sweet things. And because in March of 2020, a teacher reported to the National Cryptid Society, their sighting of a 6-foot tall raccoon man.
Raccoon man?
Yes.
Oh.
Raccoon Man.
So many cryptids just are like Animal Man.
Well, I'll see.
Animal Man.
Well, and then I'm also like, I've seen some pretty big raccoons in my day, but.
That's just a goth who likes The Cure. I mean, come on. It makes me so sad, my mascara.
So I might, because the account, and I don't, shockingly, there's only one, I was only able to find one source for
one?
This.
Oh. Which was, that's exciting.
Which is what he posted.
You're right at the cutting edge.
Yes.
Yeah.
Certainly, I mean, 2020 the Raccoon Man is going to.
Oh, this it's going to be exciting. It's going to blow
years,
off.
It's
going to
be big. 2 years old.
Wow.
So I might read the account because I might get a kick out of it, and also I feel like I'm a little bit of a jerk because the website is like, when people come in and they give us these leads, like they've had like a kind of a scary experience. So this was in March of 2020, and I'm just going to read the account. It says, so I was walking to work. I'm a high school teacher after visiting my aging grandmother who lives in the location. I took this back road alleyway.
Was she carrying a basket of goodies?
I know. It was like, I took this back road alleyway behind the house since it was a shortcut, and I love the scenery there. It was around 6 in the morning, so it was still kind of dark. The way the alleyway is that it's a tiny single lane road with trees around it, and I was heading west towards a community garden. I heard some chittering sounds, so I assumed it was a bird or something. Then I heard a trash can fall over. Just the neighbor's dog rummaging through the trash, I thought. Then I saw someone behind a tree, and it looked like it was trying to hide from me. It chittered at me and made a mad dash across the pavement into the other trees, and I didn't see much of it, but it was at least 6 feet tall and had black stripes on its body.
Mm.
Yeah, it stood upright and had four-fingered hands and was bow-legged. It managed to scratch the strap of my satchel when it ran, and the claw marks looked more precise, not rugged. I don't know if it tried to attack me or if it was scared of me, but it brushed the strap on accident when it ran away. I tried telling my buddy about it, but he was sarcastic about it. Sorry, that would have been me. So I assumed no one else would believe me. I only found out about this website today, so I figured I would share my experience with the Raccoon Man, as I dubbed him. Now, when I read this, I mean, first of all, the title, 6 foot tall Raccoon Man. I mean, I have always found raccoons to be adorable. With like, you know, they're determined, like dumpster diving and like insistent, like hand washing. Mm-hmm. And I have seen raccoons fleeing from McDonald's with like a full bag of like Happy Meals to, you know, I've seen like little babies like scurrying up a tree. I do think they're adorable. But having a 6 foot tall raccoon, if this is the possibility.
That's a lot of raccoons.
Yeah, because I did have one time when my friend lived in St. Louis in an apartment complex, and I was like taking the trash out to the dumpster, and they had these trees that overlooked, you know, kind of hung over the dumpster. And as I'm walking out there and it's dark, and I'm like, oh, all right, you know, throw this in here. But then you get that feeling of something kind of watching you. And so I look up, and there's this, I mean, and he wasn't 6 feet tall by any means, but it was like all puffed up. And you could just see their like glinting nocturnal eyes. And he was just looking at me like, you better drop that in there so I can get it. You better drop it. Drop it. Like, you know, you want to drop it. Like, that's what he was doing. And I was like,
he's willing you.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, my God. Like, that is a little scary. And
bitch,
I mean,
me dropping my goodies.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, he was like, you better mother effing drop that shit. You better drop it or otherwise I'm going to drop on your face. Like, I mean, he was intimidating. And I know he was probably like average size. So as much as I do laugh about this account, I do think it could be scary because I found, you know, a 3 foot regular raccoon to be somewhat scary once when I was taking my trash out.
So. Well, sure. Yeah, I would be bothered by a 6 foot anything that wasn't, you know, human.
Yeah.
If it pops up.
I mean, heck, sometimes the basketball players and the football players, I'm like, Jesus, those guys are like 6 feet. You know, you see the reporters
hey, Bird,
next to them.
Damn.
Yeah, and you're like, whoa. You don't realize how tall they are. So yeah, 6 feet tall, anything covered in hair with the possibility of fangs or
well, you see, this rabies. Is perfect fodder for Ty West to make a movie. And to just locate it near here, as a number of the other ones have been, do a little indie movie, buck and a half in time, hour and a half, and make it all about the Raccoon Man, the poor, misunderstood Raccoon Man.
He could be like going Rambo on the hunters and the fur trappers.
I dig it.
Yeah, let's do it. Raccoon
Make it
man.
A period
and he's
piece.
Like, he's like got like, you know, the bandit eyes, but instead he's like putting on extra oil to like really make it traumatic.
So it's Raccoon Bill.
Washing his hands aggressively in the stream.
I dumpster dive me so hard.
Oh, I also just imagine like 6 feet tall anything going over to the stream and being like wash, and then being like chitter. You're like, well, depending on what part of Missouri you're in, I mean, that couldn't be. I mean, yeah, like, that's shocking.
It's either hey baby or have you heard the good word. It's one of the two. That's all we have in Missouri.
But I did love the chittering. It's a great word for a raccoon. Chittering. Yes.
It is a disconcerting sound because it almost sounds like they're talking to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Well, speaking of 6 foot tall, J.E., I think you've got a cryptid for us that might fit that bill. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. And that'll be the next movie. That'll be Raccoon Man 2.
Ooh, a sequel? Oh,
maybe they're
Raccoon Man, like, Raccoon can, like, Man make, versus
like, Godzilla. Oh. Like, we can start our own franchise.
You're damn right.
Yeah.
And they could all be fighting in the back of a McDonald's.
Oh, my God, they could fight the other cryptids.
And they drive a dumpster,
like a
fuel-ejected nuclear-powered dumpster.
Someone's going to take this from us. And 3 years from now, I'm going to see, instead of King Kong versus whatever, Godzilla, it's going to be Raccoon Man versus Mothman. And
oh, yes.
Yeah,
that'll be all, like the Asylum version.
Yes. You think? I take it.
Troma's calling. Hang on, I got to go take a call. Oh,
gosh.
Well, yeah. So this one was interesting to me because of how quickly it exploded and just how big it became. It's probably, I would say this is, Momo, the Missouri Monster, which literally stands for Missouri Monster.
Ooh, that's creative. Out of the bag.
It's probably creative. The most
box
famous.
Box.
Momo. It's kind of cute.
It's all
Momo.
He could say while he was drinking, while he was creating the idea.
It makes me think of My Neighbor Totoro. Like, he feels like it could go in like a good children's movie. Momo.
Isn't Momo also what they called that, like, that weird, what was it called? The supposed challenge that they did, that there was the
creepypasta or something.
The Momo challenge was a hoax and an internet urban legend.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, which was completely unrelated to this one.
But. Rolling Stone even has one about it. Momo challenge. Cool. Okay, what is yours?
So, but this Momo is, this happened in the 70s, long, long before TikTok. And there was a time.
Careful. They were still doing choreographed dances.
Dude, I went through puberty in the 70s. Don't knock it.
I was like, they're still doing choreographed dances back then.
Hells yeah. I can still do the hustle. Thank you. Yeah. Now, what was that about Momo you were saying?
So in 1971, there was a group of kids playing outside. Well, a couple brothers playing outside with their dog. They were 8 and 5 years old. So, you know, can kind of take what they say with a grain of salt, but they saw a tall, like tall as a person, hairy creature standing at the edge of the woods by their house.
Their uncle.
Their sister, who was 15, when they shouted, looked out the window and also saw it. She said it was right by the tree, 6 or 7 feet tall, black and hairy. It stood like a man, but it didn't look like one.
It looked like a man.
They said it was feeding on a dead dog, and that it smelled horrible, like garbage.
Around
them.
So it's a raccoon.
So it that as you're talking and describing the Raccoon Man, I'm like, I wonder if Momo moved.
Yeah,
like,
or
Momo
had,
moves.
Or had children. Yeah,
Momo it's Momo's moves. Cousin. You know, this is what happens when you cross species. I'm just saying.
Yeah. This is so. This was in Louisiana, Missouri, which is in Missouri, not Louisiana.
It's not Mexico, and, Missouri.
I have to keep it clear as mud here. Just like there's a Vegas or something, Missouri.
Along the Mississippi River, which is also in Missouri, not Mississippi.
Son of a bitch. I'm never going to be able to find this.
We know our geography well here.
What's weird about this is the town took it very, very seriously at the time. It wasn't treated as a hoax. It wasn't treated as, you know, they brought in search parties to try to find this thing and figure out what it was. They didn't know if it was a person, if it was some kind of wild animal, you know, a bear that was a long way from home, because that can occasionally happen. But they didn't find anything. But then there were other sightings, or particularly smellings, where people said they would feel like they were being watched, or they would see something out of the corner of their eye. Nobody else really
smellings
really
smellings,
saw yeah. it because but the but you know it. Momo was there because of the smell.
Are you sure that wasn't just people trying to like blame bad gas?
I'm telling you, I totally.
It was Momo.
I wrestled this guy in high school, and the only reason I won the wrestling match was fear. Absolute fear and panic.
Like, next time I have to, you know, let one loose, and I'm just going to be like, sorry, I think Momo just came
it's
by.
It's the sound you make.
Sorry, J.E., you know my maturity level. And Mark's still like...
J.E.'s got the patience of a saint and the anger of the sun.
It's burning deep and low. No. Who knows? But what was interesting is after that, it became a sensation. There were stories about it everywhere. Six Flags opened a Momo the Monster ride.
What?
In the St. Louis theme park. It was really just an octopus that they renamed to Momo the Monster, which is interesting because Momo the Monster looked nothing like an octopus. But
the eight-armed ape, yeah.
But you know they're not gonna pass on a marketing opportunity. Yeah.
Well, they just paint it brown.
Yeah,
this is Momo.
Just like put the garbage out next to it. It's for the full experience. We can't afford the smellizers.
Now you
that
see,
Disney
if you
has.
Made all of the cars that you rode in like dumpsters, it all goes back to the dumpster.
Oh my God, but then I feel like you'd need to call it Dumpster Fire instead of, you know, Momo. That'd be hilarious.
Dumpster Fire.
Yeah, come on into the Dumpster Fire.
So they've got a ride. So Momo is just exploding.
Yeah, and even today, the town of Louisiana capitalizes on this one sighting of Momo back in the 70s. It's just carried so, like, the story took the population of Louisiana majority, or, oh my gosh,
all
Louisiana,
five
Missouri, kind of by storm. It became a part of the culture going forward. You can buy t-shirts, you can visit their, I mean, they have all of their history, like their history museum or history store there has all kinds of Momo merchandise.
I just love it. Momo merchandise.
It like became their little Area 51 or Roswell.
Has there been any other sightings since that you found?
So, well, and that's what I, there haven't been really a lot of, that's just it. Like people talked about smelling it. And they talked, but it hasn't. So the way it was described was 6 feet tall, and then it's with a head like a pumpkin, and
oh, yeah,
glowing
I
eyes.
Remember.
No, more
like,
glowing eyes.
More glowing eyes. What is it with the glowing? Well, and maybe the thing is because animals
like,
have
you know,
glowing
nocturnal.
Eyes, right?
Yeah,
like if you see it in the dawn and it hits, yeah.
If they're nocturnal, they should, right? Isn't that how that works?
Yeah.
Like their eyes,
their irises are so big and
reflection.
It just reflects, yeah.
And they look like glowing red eyes. Yeah. So I think, I'm sure that's where a lot of that originates. I mean, I did, when I was, this is off topic, but I have to tell the story somewhat shamefully. When I was, when we were at my grandma's house when I was a kid, we were playing German Spotlight one night, and my sister, who's 5 years younger than me, was outside. And yeah. It was in the spring, and there were rabbits everywhere. So it was like dusk, getting dark. And we were running around the yard, and these rabbits kept running out. And she was like screamed once because this rabbit ran right past her. I was like, "Oh, don't worry about the rabbits; they're generally fine, as long
generally?
As." Generally, I was like, and one of them isn't going to hurt you,
like
but
a really
you have
big
to.
One.
I said
oh,
you have
geez.
To look
a really
out
big one.
For the carnivorous ones. She was like 7 years old.
That's
eight.
Great.
I was so mean.
That's great.
And
yeah,
then she's
great.
she's like. They eat plants. I'm like, well, most of them do. And as long as you're only one or two at a time, but if you get a group of the carnivorous ones,
they
can be
they
really
just
dangerous.
Swarm you.
I said, the way you know, though, is you have your flashlight, just shine it at their face. If their eyes glow red,
oh,
you know
you
that they're carnivorous.
That is so great.
You are such a big brother. Oh, my
so
God.
Great. I would love to see
so
a
we
story.
Were playing. We're in the backyard, and all of a sudden, there's this blood-curdling scream that doesn't stop from the front. And my sister was screaming all the way across the yard, into the front door, into the family room, and told all of the adults about the carnivorous rabbits out front. And didn't go so well for me.
J.E., get in here! Tell your sister.
But they've all got those eyes, right? So I can see why there are so many glowing eyes in the cryptids, but it is a weird theme that.
Well, with Momo, there's a legend of the Blue Man, that I heard as a kid that was down in southern Missouri, mm-hmm. Arkansas area, that it was kind of this bluish looking hairy dude that went around. And what was one of the big signs of it? The stank. And they wondered if it was like a skunk ape, mm-hmm. if there was actually some type of animal-esque thing that just reeked, and that was part of its musk, part of its scenting, its area, etc. But that means you'd have to squirt,
because you guys know me, I'm an animal nerd, and I mean, I think skunks are adorable, but like, it's a gland thing. Like,
yeah.
You squirt it out. Like, I do not want a 6-foot-tall man squirting his gland juice everywhere. Like, we already have enough of, like,
this tree is in mine.
Their juice to deal with. Like, I don't
this rock
need
is
them,
mine.
Yeah, like, I don't need them marking their, like, rubbing their scent.
Well, strangely enough, even humans,
Bigfoot, that's kind of the same. I mean, there's always that, that the stink is also part of the Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Maybe they're all the same.
Well, because, you know, lemurs do that stuff too, which kind of made me lose my love a little bit for lemurs. They like have these scent. I don't know if they're on their wrists and their butt. I don't know. But like, it's gross. Like, it's like anything to where they're like, God, my scent is on this tree and my scent is on this and rubbing
this
my
is
glands
my
and.
Yeah, so that's
really
kind of wild,
disturbing
about.
Though
amazing that Momo, one sighting again, one sighting. These are both one sighting wonders that are yours. Shelby is in the first stages, and I'm hoping that this podcast helps really spread that word, and that Sugar Creek blossoms as a as an endeavor. Because of our spreading the word about freaking.
Instead of, you know,
everybody
sure
goes
like,
to Sugar Creek to look for the raccoon man. I'm sure they would love if that was what defined their town now.
And instead of, them being well known for like sugared maple, you know, that you could come and be like, oh yeah, the water
a
here is so sweet, a simple life.
Of running from raccoon monsters.
Yes. And instead, you know, let's have a festival where, you know, we don't celebrate Sugar Creek with the lovely maples, but everyone comes in and they all dress up like a raccoon. And they dump, you know, get in the dumpsters.
Oh, that they everybody brings their trash and they have a literal,
and
they light a literal pyre dumpster fire to the raccoon man.
Yes, or they all lay it in the center of the town. Oh my God, that'd be such a fun thing to write. They all lay it in the center of the town and everyone just like dives in there and they're like, decide what's a treasure and what's not.
You could do it for the kids. You could have like one of those big like bubble pits, except it's just full of garbage.
Yes.
And they could go play in the garbage. Yes. And maybe you hide a special prize in there somewhere.
Yes.
Maybe there's a hot dog that's not rancid.
Yeah. Could be
and
dog
you dig
poop,
around to find it.
I'm thinking like you could have, you know, those little mining stations they have at that tourist thing. You could give each kid little sugar cubes to wash and some of them have little jewels inside.
Oh my God.
And let's start a raccoon civilization story right now. Where's my story seed document?
And the people with obsessive compulsive disorder could come and feel at home because they'd just be washing their hands.
Yes, constantly. With no judgment.
This is, this is,
or, you
this
know,
is
you
so
just
wholesome.
Want to be really clean and they could always feel like.
I feel really good about this from the inside out. all right, for me.
Well, Mark, I think you and I had the same idea, so I'm excited to hear what you found.
Having grown up in the Ozarks, it was interesting in the 1970s, by the way, because they were having some of those animal mutilations going on down there.
What?
With cows showing up as all bunged up and occasionally missing organs and stuff.
What? Ooh,
and
what?
You know what our first thought was? It's sight marsh birth. But actually there were two. Yeah. The other one was aliens. And, you know, in my, where
no
I,
serial killers,
the home though. I grew up in, it was definitely Satan worshippers because there's no such thing as aliens. But,
there are rampant satanic cults all over the United States that are sacrificing children and animals right now.
Oh, well, And cows and cutting out a cow's liver specifically because isn't that what Satan really digs with some onions and a little
and some virgins?
Yeah.
Chianti.
I don't know. However, down in the Ozarks, this one has been noted more than once. There have even been a purported picture of it in 2015 that we'll get to. But the name of this cryptid, this weird supposed animal, is the Ozark Howler, which, by the way, is something you can get for $20 in an alley down there, along with a St. Louis mudslide and a Gasconade double dip.
I'm so disturbed because, and as always with those kind of terms, I'm like, is it a dessert or is it a sex thing? What is this?
And the answer is always yes.
The answer is always both, which you're is correct. Terrifying.
The Ozark Howler is also known as the Ozark Black Howler, the Devil Cat, the Nightshade Bear, and my favorite, the Hoo-Hoo. H-O-O dash H-O-O.
Say Hoo-Hoo again.
The Ozark Howler is
I feel like that also sounds like a sex thing. I'm just saying.
I like the hoo-hoo.
Is that your hoo-hoo?
I vote hoo-hoo instead of Ozark Howler.
So. You deserve a St. Louis mudslide. I'm just saying. The Ozark Howler is a bear-sized animal cryptid with a thick body and stocky legs. It sports a shaggy black fur coat, and it has a head and face somewhat resembling a big cat. This beast isn't basic, though, yo, because it's got glowing red eyes, and it has horns also. And the horns, if you've seen, like, Baphomet presentations, pictures of
satanic curly, with a goat like, head.
Not real spirally, but they do have that kind of warp bend to them, and they are kind of twisty like going out.
Yeah, more exactly. Width than height.
Exactly. Right. But they extend kind of back from the head because, you know, you got to have aerodynamics. Mm-hmm. So this legendary creature is supposed to live in the remote areas in Arkansas, Missouri, Oklahoma, and even Texas. Now, according to cryptids.fandom.com, and that's cryptids legit. With a Z.
That's legit.
Because we're crazy about cryptids, yo.
Cryptids.
Sightings of the Ozark Howler stretch back to the 1800s. They mention an incident on the website with Daniel Boone supposedly having shot the beast. Now, I had to go do some quick searching for that because I'm like, what the F? Yeah. By the way, there is, in my family history, on my mom's side, there is a Daniel Boone Buckley. And he was named after Daniel Boone because his dad knew him, supposedly.
Oh, really? So, interesting.
And I think it's buried in, is it Urich? Somewhere around Urick, Clinton, somewhere. Anyway, okay, the frontierpartisans.com mentions this also, but that article's mostly about Boone saying he killed a 10-foot-tall hairy beast man called Yahoo, and sometimes called Lubagrud. Both names were taken from Gulliver's Travel, one of Boone's favorite books. So he may have stretched the truth.
I was about to say, I was like, well, Hunter that is, you know, he might be like, oh yeah, I shot something that I haven't shot before.
Daniel Boone was
here a man, and
he was weird. according to himself.
I saw that. What was weird is he had two different reports. Like he had that, because there was the Nebraska one, and then there was the Missouri one.
Yeah.
That he killed two different versions of this.
Well, I love the Yahoo. It's a 10-foot-tall hairy beast man that he supposedly shot. For the Ozark Howler, if you go to ozarkhowler.info, there are websites. There's like ozarkhowler.com, ozarkhowler.info, ozarkhowler.whatever. Ozarkhowler.info has an article that quotes from a supposed letter that Boone wrote to his sister-in-law in 1810. And in it is, this is supposed to be a direct quote. How would Daniel Boone? I leave you with an alarming story of a black creature I found and wounded on the Souter Creek, black and swarthy with horns on its scalp. Ignorant of its name, I am told of the sound it makes with a terrible howling in the night. Warnings for this settlers should be passed along. Your humble servant, Daniel Boone. Now, sightings have been reported up from there into the 1900s, into the 2000s. According to a Wikipedia article, call records to the Arkansas Game and Fish Commission during the fall of 2014 included a reported sighting of the animal in Benton County, Arkansas. October 2014, AGFC, Arkansas Game and Fish Commission, indicates a motorist nearly collided with an unidentified animal at 9:45 p.m. It was a mammal. The recorded phone conversation indicates the armed state wildlife officers may have been dispatched to investigate what they said was a bear-sized, gray, fast-running animal on Pump Station Road in Springdale. 2015. Sighting made it into the newspapers with pictures, which most of the newspapers and everyone afterwards went, that's so photoshopped. Supposedly they were taken at Devil's Den State Park in Arkansas. Devil's Den because, of course. The pic shows what looks like a stray dog with bad antlers stuck on its head.
And I almost wonder, I saw that picture and I almost wondered, like, was it even photoshopped or was it just like eating on a deer, right? And they just got the right angle so that the antler were sticking up behind it.
Not impossible. And they said it was the Ozark
and
color.
Of course it was grainy and blurry and very low quality.
Because, you know, 2015 cameras were still, they were just in a cardboard box. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't have anything that could take a clean
picture. You had to like light the gunpowder to
and hold really still. Stay really still. Yeah.
On June 8th of 2022, video was captured of a big-ass Black Panther in a field of the Ozarks of northern Arkansas. Now, this was, I include this because of the possibilities it represents. This thing was huge, and the video was kind of blurry, but it didn't have horns, so, you know, that depressed me. However, the fact that something that large could still be surviving in populated areas gave me hope. So is this thing a myth? Well, you know, most of us lean toward that. According to 417escapeartist.com, the Ozark howler might be a Europeanized version of the Native American Mishapeshu. And any Native Americans who I just absolutely slaughtered, that I apologize from my heart. The Ojibwa and Cree tribes around the Great Lakes told stories about a creature who lived in large bodies of water. It's been described as having the body of a mountain lion or a sea serpent. They also called it an underwater panther with copper horns and a face like a cat.
See, that's a much more terrifying description.
I know.
Underwater panther. That's very terrifying.
Well, and it was weird how there was like, there was either the cat version or the
aquatic
horny bear version. Like, which,
or the combination of the two that makes it super sexy.
Like, what? But they're both the same creature. Like, they're all attributed to being Ozark howler.
Well, I guess
it's two very different descriptions.
If we tried to take it on a logical bent, it could be that there were lean seasons and heavier seasons because a bear gets a lot bigger before it goes in hibernation before it comes out.
It's more lanky.
So maybe it's pre or post hibernation.
Bears do. I mean, at least I think, because I'm a, you know, it'd probably be like the Missouri, the black bear. I think those, like, they hang out in the water is what I'm pretty much trying to say. Like, I mean, they're not like, they don't not go in the water.
Right.
You know, because grizzlies do that kind of stuff. But
yeah, those are shark bears. Which, another
like,
movie.
I think they're probably, I would say it was probably a bear. I don't know what's up with the horns.
Grizzly sharks. Next.
Why has grizzly sharks not happened yet? Speaking of cryptids.
Back to our Native American friends. Mishapeshu could choose to punish you as a reward for your deeds. If it was a reward, you got copper from its horns and you had safe travels over water. Now, the article didn't say what would happen if it was a punishment, but I'm betting violence or death. Mm-hmm. Maybe watching the last season of Game of Thrones in one sitting. Scottish, Irish, Welsh, and English settlers homesteaded the Ozarks Plateau in the mid to late 1800s. The poor Irish and poor Scottish. It's like, hey, yeah, you've had our own home, sock. Let's go to this place where we can't grow a damn thing. Wonderful. Perfect. But they did their best. And among the myths they brought with them, and again, I'm going to slaughter this, was Q-Sith. Q-Sith? C-U, and the U has the umlaut, Sith, S-I-T-H. It's probably pronounced in the old tongue, Natalie. But it's a hound that appeared as a harbinger of death. So they believed the hound would come to bear away the soul of a person to the afterlife, kind of like the Grim Reaper, but, you know, more slobber. Skeptics claim that not so much that people haven't seen something, but that it's more like an Eastern cougar. It could be a black bear, like you mentioned, Shelby, or a kind of wolf or feral hound.
And I wouldn't be, I don't, and this is probably going to sound kind of weird, but we don't have, I mean, did we at one point have panthers? Like,
In
Florida? Like, Florida
had
panthers.
Oh, yeah, I mean, they're basically just black mountain lions.
Yeah, I would love to have them back.
Now, the interesting thing is, during COVID, when so many people were not going out of their houses, there was an increase in the number of animals that you don't ever see in populated areas coming in. I can't tell you how many foxes and coyotes were coming in here.
Yeah, because there weren't cars driving around everywhere. Mm-hmm. There just wasn't the activity
to scare them off. Yeah. So it's, who knows? Who knows? The skeptics claim Eastern cougar, black bear, and the Endangered Wolf Center in Arkansas claims it's actually just the sound of the endangered red wolf, which has been decimated, but they're still trying to keep them going. So, you know, you decide whether you think it's mythical or that there might be a good basis somewhere in reality. Mm-hmm. And by the way, unlock
the
Ozarks.
When it was the howl, right? That was the other thing about it.
Did I not mention the howl? I didn't. Oh, sadness on me. The howl. What are the three animals that it mixed?
So they said like an elk bugle mixed with like a mountain lion cry and a wolf howl. Like it mixed those together, and that's how people describe the sound of it.
Interesting.
And that but then the red the fox, like here, I actually have this up here. This is the sound of a red fox. Let me turn my speaker up here
and the red fox go
into the microphone.
Yeah.
What does the fox say?
Oh wait, here it is. I feel like if I heard that,
I'd be terrified.
I think I need the song of what does the fox
I made that say? Sound when I stepped on one of my kids' Legos.
So I was
it's interesting. It sounds
I was playing that at home and my cat went batshit.
Yeah,
she was sitting on the couch next to me, and then all of a sudden, I did that, and she like boom, like looked up, and then like oh. I played the second cry, and she's just gone.
Gone.
Oh. As fast as she could go. Oh. So it's a terrifying sound. I could see why that would scare people.
Because it's the other thing too. I think we forget is when you're out in the woods or you're out and it's dark and you feel vulnerable because you can't see, but you know, everything starts to look a little bit creepier at night.
If you go to unlocktheozarks.com, they've got a drawing guide so your kids can draw this soul-snatching bald knob and beast. And you just download it and then have a great day with your crayons and the Ozark Howler.
So there was one other piece of it that I thought was fascinating, and that was the battle with the Bigfoot people.
What?
What?
That, like, there
oh,
was a
I
huge,
missed that.
Like, so apparently the Bigfoot enthusiasts were very mad about the amount of attention that the Ozark Howler was taking in the cryptid research community there and set out to discredit the legend of the Ozark Howler. And the way that they did it is they claimed that there was a student at the University of Arkansas who invented whole cloth the story of the Ozark Howler, and that in fact that the letter by Daniel Boone didn't actually exist. Like everything about it was actually invented by this student because he was trying to prove that he could fool everyone and make the cryptid community actually
look poor.
He wanted to make them look bad. He wanted to like show how poorly the news researched things, and that
like
he made
how
all
bad
this
they've
up.
Been researching and
the story took off, and but then of course this is all verifiable, and they did a bunch of research. And in fact, no, there really is this letter from Daniel Boone, and they're really, you know, that like it was. There are lots of accounts. There's even a book published well before this student supposedly would have. I mean, stories or tales of the Ozark Howler or whatever. So the myth did exist and has existed for like since the 1800s. But it was the Bigfoot community setting out to discredit the Ozark Howler so that they could have more attention. And I'm like, are you kidding me? It's okay. There could be more than one mystery in the world. Well, and there was even a documentary that this guy was doing about Bigfoot sightings all over the country. And then he came to, I can't remember what town, and was trying to get them to talk about their Bigfoot sightings. And they're like, we don't have Bigfoot here.
But we do have the Ozark Howler.
And he's like, well, it just sounds like Bigfoot to me.
It.
Sounds just like Bigfoot.
No.
And that's, you're actually seeing Bigfoot. And then eventually aired this special, never mentioned the Ozark Howler, all talked about people's sightings of Bigfoot in the area.
Oh,
and it was like,
rude.
Oh, you
rude.
Bigfoot people.
Honestly, as much fun as I've made of it, I am intrigued that this was going on down in the areas where I grew up. And thank you for listening to Sideways Boulevard. You can find us on Facebook. I've got a really terrible website halfway done, because why be a total ass when you can just be half a one and save room?
you're working through it.
You know, I do have it up.
Yeah, you got it live. I mean,
you know, adjacent.
It's alive.
And it's also on anchor.fm and all the places you find your favorite podcast. So spread the word. For J.E. Peterson, Shelby Dollar, and Mark L. Groves, thank you, and we will see you next time out here on the street with Sideways Boulevard.
At long last, I am able to say a few words of my own.
Never have you known such cringing terror.
I hear you talking.
I won't kid you.
I like to do audio. Dun, dun, dun. Mark here, co-host of Pottenstein's Lab. My little company, Magnificent Cowlick Media, located right here in Kansas City, does audio. I write it, I mix it, I voice it, I love it. If you need help creating a more unique commercial, maybe a more creative approach to communication, I would love to help. Stop by magnificentcowlickmedia.com. Don't forget to look for it on amazon.com for all our books.
And thank you so much for listening to Sideways Boulevard.
So, you want to be on radio? You've come to the one-stop shop for all your radio broadcasting needs. That's right. It's Big Bobby Balls, School of Broadcasting. I'm Big Bobby Balls with the big stick. I've been broadcasting professionally for something like 287 years. Big Bobby Balls can teach you how to do commercials. You'll learn to say things like,
conveniently located. It's our biggest sale ever. You've tried the rest. Now try the best.
Not to mention that fantastic attention getting opener.
Hey, Kansas City. Hey, Memphis. Hey, Poughkeepsie.
Big Bobby Balls brings it all to you right here at the Big Bobby Balls School of Broadcasting. Once you've mastered the Big Bobby Balls technique, you'll then learn how to talk live on the air to people. Be relatable. Sincere. And launch yourself into the radio stratosphere of personalities. You'll learn how to tell the time accurately.
It's 9:25, 25 after 9, 35 minutes till 10 o'clock.
You'll master the art of conversation go-getters like,
a tornado destroyed your house. How do you feel? So what are you up to today while you're talking to me on the phone? What radio station just made you the winner of a Buck 87 gift certificate to Tony's Ravioli Ranch?
It's the key secrets to how radio relates. Big Bobby Balls, School of Broadcasting. Call 913-555-1212. That's 913-555-1212. 913-555-1212. Big Bobby Balls, School of Broadcasting. No school like the old school.